John chapter 16. Our text today will be verses 1 through 6. However, we're going to go back into chapter 15 and read the text that we read last week. That begins in verse number 18. Because what we're going to read here in verses 1 through 6 is a continuation of what Jesus has been saying. The same subject of hatred and persecution. So we'll start there in John 15, verse number 18, and we'll read through chapter 16, verse number 6. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." And here's our text this morning. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Let's pray, and we'll get into verses 1 through 6 this morning. Father, we are again thankful for an opportunity that we have to come together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have fellowship one with another. Lord, church is so important for gathering, and so that we may receive encouragement and exhortation and edification. And Lord, I pray that your word today would help your people to be encouraged and edified. May they receive it with meekness. May they think upon it. May as they go throughout their week, may they search the scriptures and continue to study them and read them, that we may draw our source of life and nourishment from you. Lord, I pray now that you would help us to understand the words of Jesus as he gave them so many years ago. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given unto us that helps us. But we pray for insight and illumination through your Spirit, that we may accurately understand what Jesus taught so many years ago. Thank you again for all that you have done for us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your Spirit. We pray these things in his name. Amen. So in the last part of chapter 15, Jesus began to warn his disciples of the hatred and persecution that was going to come to them from the world. Last week, we looked at the three reasons that Jesus gave for why this persecution would come to his disciples. First and foremost, they would be hated because they were his followers. That's chapter 15, verses 18 and 20. The world hated Jesus, and so if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus says the world's going to hate you. And that's the overall reason for why we face hatred and persecution from the world. Second, Jesus said they would be hated because they did not belong to the world. And that's chapter 15, verse number 19. The world loves its own. And so if you go along with the world, if you live like the world and you think like the world will love you. But if you don't live like the world and you don't think like the world, like Christ's followers shouldn't, then the world's going to hate you because you're not thinking and living the way they want you to think and live. Thirdly, Jesus said they would be hated because the world doesn't truly know God. That's chapter 15, verse number 21. And we're going to get more into that again today. But if you would have asked the Jew back then, "Do you know God?" the average Jew would have said yes. And Jesus says, the reason why you're persecuting me and the reason why you're hating me is because you really don't know God. If you knew God, you wouldn't hate me, you would love me because I am God manifest in the flesh. Here now in chapter 16, verses 1 through 6, Jesus continues to expound on the persecution that was coming. Here he will detail two specific forms of persecution. He will then again reveal why it will happen to his disciples, and then he will instruct them on how they are to respond to this hatred and persecution. So let's start this morning by looking at the two specific forms of persecution that Jesus said was coming, specifically talking about these men here to his apostles, his disciples. Let's start reading verse number 2. Here's the first form that this hatred and persecution would come in. Jesus says, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to you. Okay, so they get kicked out of the synagogue. But put yourself in the shoes of a Jewish person at that time. The synagogue was the hub of all social, economic, and religious life. It all was around the synagogue. To be put out of the synagogue meant your life socially, economically, and religiously was going to be destroyed. You would become a religious and social outcast, and more than likely, your family would disown you as well. All of this, of course, would lead to financial ruin because no one would deal with you. So when Jesus tells his disciples, you're going to be put out of the synagogue, they're going to excommunicate you, he's telling them you're going to be outcast. Go with me. We have an example that we've already looked at, but John chapter 9, this was many months ago. But in John chapter 9, something happened here. This is when Jesus heals the man that was born blind. In verse 18, we're going to pick up with the religious leaders talking with this man's parents, and they want to know what's going on. John 9, verse number 18. But the Jews, speaking of the religious leaders, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So the man's going around saying, hey, Jesus made my blindness go away. And they said, I don't know about this. This guy's kind of pulling one over on us. Let's talk to his parents. And so they bring in the parents, verse 19, and they ask them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. So they're telling them, yes, he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. So the parents get put in the hot seat. Was your child actually born blind? Yes, he was in fact born blind. But how he now sees and who did it, we don't know. Now, more than likely, they did know. But notice what verse 22 tells us why they gave that answer. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, the religious leaders. Why? For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he, Jesus, was Christ, the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. So to be put out of the synagogue was a big deal in that culture. You were going to be cut off from families, friends. More than likely, if you had a business, no one was going to do business with you. You are now going to become an outcast. And Jesus tells his disciples this, hatred and persecution is coming to you, and one form it will come to you is this, you're going to be put out of the synagogues. People aren't going to want to deal with you. People aren't going to want to talk with you. Maybe even your family will shun you. They would be an outcast with no religious connection to God, no friends and family, no way to financially provide for themselves. And the people feared that. And no doubt the disciples did as well. We'll see Jesus giving them some comforting words at the end, but that was what was coming to them, to be an outcast in their society. Notice the second form there in verse number 2. Jesus says, "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." So Jesus comes right out, minces no words. You're going to be put out of the synagogue, and they're going to kill you. So when we talk about persecution, we're not just saying verbal stuff. Yes, there was verbal stuff. Yes, there was even going to be physical beatings and some of that. We'll look at some of those examples in just a second. But ultimately, they're going to kill you for being a follower of me. And all the while, Jesus says, they're going to think they're doing God a service while they kill you. Now, the question that comes to my mind is, why would a Jewish person in that day who killed a Christ follower think that he was doing God a service in doing that? Go with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 13. So Jesus says, some of you are going to be killed, and the people that kill you are going to be thinking they're doing God a service while they kill you. Why would they think that? It's because of what we read here in Deuteronomy chapter 13. We're going to see that Paul, Saul, was one of those that took Deuteronomy 13 to heart. Verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So God through Moses was telling his people, if there arise a prophet and he starts doing miracles, but he's doing those to get you to go away from me, the one true God, don't follow him. It's a test. I want you to continue to follow me. Don't follow that dreamer, that false prophet. But notice verse 5, what God says should happen to that prophet. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So God said, don't follow that man if he's trying to get you to go away from me. In fact, I want you to put him to death. That's what God told them. Continue reading. Verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. So this is what God said. If a false prophet arises, and he starts doing these miracles to draw you away from me, kill that prophet. And by the way, if your brother, if your mother, if your son entices you to follow after that false prophet, you kill them too. Let that sink in. That's what God commanded. Now, here comes along Jesus. Is Jesus a prophet? Yes, more than a prophet, but also a prophet. And what does Jesus do? Signs and wonders. And then he teaches them this: follow me. The Jews think what? He's pulling us away from God. That's what they think, because they misunderstand who Jesus is. He was the very one that said this in Deuteronomy 13. But they don't believe he is who he claims to be. They see him as a false prophet pulling them and the people away from the one true God, Jehovah. And so guess what the religious leaders do in service to God, they think? They kill Jesus. Because according to the law, that's what they were supposed to do. Now, what about all those other people? The apostles. They're going around, and in their minds, guess what they're doing? Enticing people to follow after this strange God called Jesus. So guess what Deuteronomy 13 tells them to do? Kill them too. And Jesus brings this up. They know the law. They know what the law says. Because they don't know who Jesus is, and he's going to bring that up in the very next verse, because they don't truly know the Father, and they don't truly know who Jesus is, they're going to kill me, and they're going to kill you, but in their minds, they're going to be thinking this: we're doing God a service, because that's what God told us to do. Jesus was letting them know what was coming. And we see that it came. Jesus first was killed. Again, why? Because they thought he was a false prophet, pulling them away from Jehovah God. They did not understand he was Jehovah God come in human flesh. And that's why then they went after his disciples. Because the disciples went out preaching for people to follow after Jesus Christ. And so they went after those disciples as well, trying to kill them. Go with me now to Acts 26. This is why we have a man by the name of Saul. Acts 26. You say, was Saul a horrible person that just had so much hatred in his life, he just wanted to go out and persecute people? No. You know what Saul was? By his own testimony, and the Holy Spirit inspired him to say it, a zealous Jew. A zealous Jew. In fact, you don't need to turn there. In Philippians 3, verse 6, as Paul's giving his testimony, he says this: as touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. That's what Paul said, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, you look at the law, you can't find a handle when it comes to me. How was that possible? I thought he went around persecuting people. But why was he persecuting people? Because of Deuteronomy 13, that's what the law said. Now again, he misunderstood who Jesus was and who his disciples were. But if you honestly thought Jesus was a false prophet and you honestly thought his disciples then were going around enticing people away, guess what you should have done if you lived in that day? should have killed them. Now, the average Jew wasn't going around killing people, but Saul was a zealous Jew after the law. And he said, this is what God said. I'm going to go do it. You may not do it. I'll do it. Which is why you could say, it's touching the law, I'm blameless. But this is why you have Saul. Saul wasn't a man full of just evil and wickedness. He misunderstood who Jesus was and the disciples were, and he thought he was fulfilling the law. Notice what he says here in his defense as he's talking to Agrippa, Acts 26, verse number 4. He says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. He said, you ask anybody that knew me, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Go down to verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul mistakenly was following Deuteronomy 13. He wasn't a mass murderer. He was a zealous Jew that was ignorant. Because the law said, if a false prophet arises, you kill him. And the law said, if the followers start enticing other people, you kill them too. And Paul said, I'll do it. The average Jew said, no. It's like Christianity today. You have zealous Christians and you have not so zealous Christians. Paul was zealous. He said, you may not live like the law says to live, but I'll live it. You may not do what the law tells you to do, but I'll do it. And he went to the chief priests and they gave him the authority because the law gave them the authority, again, mistakenly, but they gave him the authority. You want to go out and do that? Go do it with our authority. And Paul went up and saw rounding up Christians, brought them back to Jerusalem. They had their little trials in front of the Sanhedrin, and Paul was one of those casting his vote to put them to death because that's what Deuteronomy 13 told them to do. And this is what Jesus is getting at here in John 16. He says, there's coming a day, there's going to be some zealous brethren you have, Saul being one of those. And they're going to be thinking they're doing God a service, and they're going to come after you. And they're going to kill you. In verse 3, Jesus tells them why such individuals would do these things. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Again, if you would have asked zealous Saul, do you know the Father? Do you know Jehovah? Saul would have said, of anybody, I do. But according to Jesus, guess what his persecution of Christians showed? He didn't know. He was ignorant. Zealous after the law, but didn't really know the God who gave that law. Because when the giver of the law showed up, Jesus, he didn't recognize him. And therefore, he went after his followers as well. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. This is the conversion of Saul. Acts 9, I'll start reading in verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Why? Because Deuteronomy 13 said to do it. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? We'll stop there for a second. You get no indication that Paul was surprised to receive a revelation from the Lord. I think Paul understood if anybody would get a revelation from God, it would be me. He was the most zealous Jew you could have met. And if God was going to speak to any one of his people, he would speak to the most zealous. And so when Saul is going on this road to Damascus and this light shines, he doesn't question who it is. The voice says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He knows the Lord is speaking to him. He's a zealous Jew. Of course, God at some point would come speak to him. But this is what throws Saul for a loop and changed his life. Look at the next phrase. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Notice verse 6, his response. And he trembling, and what's that next word? Astonished. You know what the furthest thing from his mind was? Was that Jesus was God. And then that voice from heaven spoke, and he knows that's God. Of course, God's speaking to me. And God says this, I'm Jesus. And it changed Paul's life. Showing us what? He never really knew who the Father was. Because when the Father spoke, guess what the Father said? I am Jesus. And Paul said, uh-oh. Now, what he was doing was okay under the law if it was the right people. But he was doing it to the wrong people. And Paul's life will change from that day forward. Paul now had a recognition of who God was, and God was Jesus. And he would go on to serve God, Jesus, with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. As zealous as he was for the law, he would now be zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our final point. Go back to John chapter 16. Jesus tells his disciples how they should respond to such ignorant and unjust hatred and persecution. Their first response, go back to verse number 1. Jesus says this, These things have I spoken unto you, so he's talking about hatred and persecution. Why? That ye should not be offended. The word offended here means to cause to trip and fall, to stumble. You know why Jesus was telling his disciples about hatred and persecution? Not to put fear into their heart. Because when it came, he didn't want them to be offended. He didn't want them to fall away from following him. It's easy for us to be a Christian when things are going good. Right now in America, I was going to use the word peace. That's probably not the best word. We're tolerated. Christianity is tolerated in this country. It's not tolerated in most other places, but it's tolerated here in our country. And when times are going good, we'll go to church. We'll speak the name of Jesus to other people. We'll live out our Christian life like we ought to. But when times get tough, you know what's going to happen? Christians, we'll use that in a loose term, will no longer follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They will fall away. And Jesus is telling you, listen, I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to be offended. I'm telling you now, it's coming. So when it comes, you can face it head on and continue to live the way that you should live. In Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus said, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." You see, what can happen to people who profess to be Christians is that when persecution comes their way, it shows what they really are. I do not want persecution to come to America. But persecution would be good for the American church. You know what persecution would do? Purify God's church. That's what it would do. Would you still be willing to meet with me in the basement of my house next Sunday when it's illegal? Christians have done it for millennia all over the world. They would meet in the catacombs because it was illegal to do so in public. But they kept the word of their Lord. Would you be willing to preach the gospel when it's outlawed? Talk to your coworkers and talk to your family members about the Lord when it becomes illegal to do so? Jesus said, "But when persecution arises, some will be offended. And they'll fall away." May the Lord help us to not be one of those who's offended and falls away. Let me show you the example of the apostles. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Notice the response of the apostles when persecution came. They were not offended. Notice their example. May the Lord help us to do this as well when it comes our way. Acts 5, let's start reading in verse 25. They've been preaching and they've already been put in prison and God delivered them miraculously from the prison. So we're going to pick up in verse 25. "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them," we're speaking of the apostles, "they set them before the council." This is the religious authority council. "And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and tend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey them." Go down to verse number 40. They're thinking of killing them and doing these other things. A man stands up and says, "Listen, if it's of God, then it'll last. If it's not of God, it'll fizzle out." Verse 40, "And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Now notice what the Bible says. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they," the apostles, "cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Look at that example. They're hauled in before the religious authorities and said, "Don't speak in that name again." And they look right back at them and say, "We obey God rather than man." They get beaten. I mean, it's just a word in the Bible, and they were beaten and let go. They get beaten. And then they're let go. And where are they the very next day? Back in the temple teaching. Going house to house, telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. They were not offended when persecution came. We're going to see this in just a second. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. Second response, go back to John chapter 16. So Jesus says, don't be offended. Don't fall away. Don't stop doing what I've told you to do. Second response, don't be surprised. Verse number 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. So when persecution finally came, Jesus didn't want his disciples sitting around and wondering, what's going on? Why would Jesus allow this to happen? Jesus said, I'm telling you right up front. It's going to happen. So when it does happen, you're not sitting around saying, why did Jesus never tell us about this? I'm telling you, persecution is coming. So when it does come, you can say, oh yeah, Jesus told us about this. Let's respond the way he wants us to respond. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Because you and I live, again, in relative peace, or whatever word is good, with toleration from the world here in America, I think we could be surprised when persecution comes. Because we don't really live in a hostile environment, per se. But if and when it comes, Jesus says this to you today as followers of Jesus Christ, don't be surprised. Even in America, don't be surprised if persecution, physical persecution, comes to you. He's letting you know it's coming your way. Before we get to 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to read two other verses. You don't need to turn there. Paul said this to the Gentile Christians in Acts 14:22. He said, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul told Timothy this in 2 Timothy 2:13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be surprised if it comes to you, because all